Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
August 26, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, don't forget the audio. Welcome back to another digital story. I'm sort of getting my wheels beneath me. I've actually had a whole week now without travel and somewhat of a routine, and I'm liking it. I'm liking it a lot. So as you can imagine, with all the things going on, the trip to Beijing, the wedding that I just did, jobs that I had done before that, I've been engaged in a fair amount of post, of working with the various shots. So I've been doing printing. I've been working with some slideshows. I've been getting stuff ready to post online. And the list goes on and on and on. Now, one of the things that I did while I was on the road that I just, in hindsight, I just thought was such a good idea that I actually had to share it with you today because it's working out great. And it goes back to something that I learned when I was studying video, when I was studying filmmaking, and that the old adage is that half the picture is the sound. And I think that's very true in filmmaking. A great soundtrack, how the audio is recorded, and the music, and the sound effects, and all that sort of stuff can have so much to do with the impression that the viewer has of the overall movie. And then being a podcaster, I've been thinking more about audio the last few years anyway than I had prior when I'd go out on assignment. And all this stuff had just sort of been, you know, rumbling around in this this hamster cage of a brain of mine. And so when I went to Beijing, I said, you know what I really want to do this time, not only is it sort of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for images, it's also a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for audio, for sound. And of course, I had to take some audio equipment with me anyway because I recorded some interviews for podcasts. One actually is live on Inside Aperture today, where I interview the head of the Olympic operations for Kodak, Mr. Conley, and he talked about the picture of the day and the whole process behind the Kodak picture of the day at the Olympics, how it gets selected, what they use for the vetting process, the whole deal. He goes into all the stuff. It's really a neat interview, and if you have a chance or if you like that kind of stuff, you ought to hop over to Inside Aperture. It's digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture, and that podcast will be right there. And those of you that subscribe to that podcast, the Inside Aperture podcast via iTunes, it will automatically show up in your iTunes. It's probably there right now. So anyway, I had to take audio equipment when I went to Beijing, because that was, you know, part of why people want me to come places, for the pictures, for the audio, all the stuff. But this was for me that I'm talking about right now, audio just for me, not doing interviews and things like that. So my big brainstorm was, I love doing slideshows. What if I captured audio at these different events, the volleyball, the opening ceremonies, you know, all this kind of stuff, so that I had it, so that I could drop it in when I'm putting together the slideshows. And, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if, you know, for instance, when I show a slide of the fireworks happening during opening ceremonies, I actually have the audio of the actual fireworks as it was going on, and that I could put this all together. Now, I always say I didn't want to make this a big crazy project where I had, you know, a multi-track, thing opening GarageBand or whatever, and trying to do all this sort of stuff. I usually like to keep these things simple. And a good way to do it, really, I mean, you can actually use iMovie or anything that allows you to do two tracks, for your audio. And so, you know, what you can do is you can have like one track that's music and so forth, that's just sort of playing. And then you can have another track where you just drop in, you know, your various sound effects or bits and bobs of audio as you want them. And then all you have to do is dip down the volume on the first track whenever that sound effect is ready to play. So, you know, the music's going along, you're watching the slides, you just lower the music a little bit, and then the sound effect plays, whatever it happens to be, applause, fireworks, cheering, some of the music, whatever it happens to be. And then when that sound effect ends, then you just bring up the volume again on your regular music track, and off you go. And it really, actually, it works out very well, and it's not that hard to do at all. You can also use single track stuff where you build a soundtrack. And this is where something, for those of you that are on a Mac, that GarageBand does come in handy, where you can take your different effects and bits of music and everything, put them together in GarageBand, and then use that soundtrack that you create with a slideshow. And you can use that with all sorts of slideshow software, including Photomagico, our own Photomagico, I like to say sometimes, that allows you to import your tracks from GarageBand into your slideshow. So you can kind of build and tinker the audio in GarageBand and then go ahead and add it to your slideshow. And you can make this as simple or as complicated, you know, really as you have time for. And really a lot of times that's what it really comes down to. It comes down to time, because it's not really that hard if you're computer savvy at all. Now, you're going, okay, so you're probably thinking all sorts of things right now. And one of them I don't really carry audio equipment with me. So, you know, none of this, you know, really applies to my location shooting. And I actually have thought about that, because I don't always want to carry, even though I'm using mainly on the road a little M-Audio MicroTrack, sometimes that's just like one more piece of equipment I don't want to carry. So, you know, what I've started using when I'm just out and about and sometimes I want to capture just some audio, is that you can use your compact camera. So if you're shooting with a DSLR, hopefully you're bringing your compact with you anyway, because for all the reasons that we've been talking about for the last couple of years now, how useful compacts can be. Or if you're just shooting with the compact camera itself, then you're fine also. And the way that you can use it for this sort of thing, on the even the most basic compact camera these days captures movies with audio. And for the most part, they do a pretty good job, especially with ambient sound, you know, sounds that we're talking about for these presentations, sounds of the city, sounds of the ballpark, sounds of, you know, wherever you happen to be. You're really, a lot of times with these slideshows, what you're trying to do is capture, you know, the environmental sounds of where you are. And compact cameras actually do a very good job of that. The microphone on them does a great job, as long as you're not banging around on the camera while you're recording. And even if your camera doesn't record audio separately, some do, some don't, you can always use the movie mode on your camera. So just go ahead and capture a movie. You'll get both video and audio. You may not even want the video. And then later on, when you're back on your computer, and this is for Windows or Mac, if you have QuickTime Pro, actually, it's very easy. You just extract the soundtrack from your video. And what QuickTime will do is it'll pull it out. It actually pulls a copy of it out. It leaves the original soundtrack there. It'll pull a copy of the soundtrack out and have it be a separate file. Just puts it right there, right on your computer desktop. Again, Mac or Windows, QuickTime Pro does this quite nicely. So you can use your compact camera as an audio recording device. Sometimes, you know, you'll use the pictures that come with it if you're shooting in movie mode. Sometimes not. It really doesn't make any difference. You have both, but you can extract the audio using QuickTime Pro. And QuickTime Pro, by the way, is an upgrade. I think it's $29.99. It's $30 upgrade that is really useful for all sorts of stuff. You can use it to compress movies for the web, for YouTube, things like that. I mean, it just is literally, it's a Swiss Army knife of audio and video. There's so many things. I think I'm digressing a little bit here, but I'm going to go ahead and finish this digression. I actually use QuickTime Pro a lot of times just to put together different pieces of audio, just quick and dirty, because it does it so well. If I don't have to be super precise, I just open up the different files that I have. So I have five QuickTime windows there on my desktop, and then you use the little pointers on the scrubber bar to select what you want. You copy, you go to the next movie or start one from scratch. You just go to add to movie, and it will add the audio or the audio video depending on whatever you selected. You leave the pointer on the scrubber bar wherever you want the next insert to be. You go to the next file, copy something, go back to the one that you're building. Make sure that the pointer on the scrubber bar is where you want the insert to be. Use add to movie. Don't use paste. Use add to movie. It'll put it right there. On and on and on. And then you can build a track with, five or six or eight or however many different files that you have pretty fast, pretty quick and dirty. And then you just export that finished one out. Just export it out however you want, as a WAV file or an AIFF or an MP4, whatever your needs are. And you can then drop that into your slideshow, or it can be a podcast or whatever you're doing. So QuickTime Pro is just super handy for all this kind of stuff, especially if you just need to do things quick and dirty. Now, one of the nice things about what we're talking about today is that people, for the most part, are going to be focusing on your pictures when they're looking at the slideshow, right? That's what their mindset is when they're going into the presentation, or when you say, hey, you want to see my trip to Hawaii? And they go, yeah, they're thinking pictures, right? And because a lot of people don't put a lot of work into the audio, their expectations are low on the soundtrack side. I think most people figure if they get a music track out of iTunes with the slideshow, they're doing pretty good. A lot of times they don't get anything. Sometimes they'll just get a song by somebody that the photographer likes, and that'll be great. But rarely do they get more than that. So you got to remember, they're not really focusing on the audio part of the thing. So, you have really everything to gain and nothing to lose by playing around and by adding, some good audio, some surprising audio, especially in terms of ambient sound and sound effects and all that kind of stuff to your slideshow. And people are it's going to jump out at them. And especially if you can time it with something that happens, on the screen. Now, of course, right away, I'll be the first guy to say, I understand that when you start getting into that, when you start trying to time stuff, then the time investment, your labor investment, goes up considerably. So I get that. So, you got from ground zero, where you have nothing, no audio at all, to playing an iTunes song, to maybe playing around with some of this, anything that you do along that spectrum for most folks is going to be a pleasant surprise. I have a few tips for you in terms of recording audio that will help make things a lot easier in post. And these tips work with just about everything, including use your compact camera as an audio recording device. The one thing that just will drive you nuts with audio that you're not aware of often when you're recording, especially when you start doing this, is wind. Wind will just make you nuts, because you'll be sitting there and it'll be kind of a nice sort of afternoon, and there's a little breeze going, and you're thinking, wow, this feels kind of nice. I'm glad we have a breeze today. You're recording your audio. Your camera or your audio recording device isn't really protected from the breeze. And then you listen to that audio later on and you hear this, this little breeze that you just experienced in person will sound like a hurricane when you're recording. It's one of the evils of audio is that moving air. Microphones are very sensitive to moving air because essentially that's what they're recording anyway, right? Even when you talk. So you got to be cognizant of breeze and wind and so forth. If there's a heavy wind, you might as well forget it. You know, unless you've really come with, you know, real audio equipment, you might as well forget it because you're probably not going to get what you want and you'll probably just get frustrated. So I want to save you that frustration. I don't want to be, you know, the focus of your anger when you get back after you've gone to all this trouble to record audio and it was windy and then you just had this frustrating experience when you got back on the computer. I don't want to have anything to do with that. So I'll just say right now, if it's really windy, then that probably isn't going to be your first audio project, nor should it be. Now, however, if it's just a little breezy here and there, and especially if it's sporadic, a lot of times you can kind of protect your microphone. And what I'll do, what I did this actually one night in Beijing with the opening ceremonies, I just used the camera bag to, you know, sort of serve as a little bit of a windshield. The breeze wasn't that bad, and it worked quite well. But this is something that you have to be aware of when you're recording, because you won't, if you otherwise, you know, if you haven't listened to this podcast and you just start doing stuff, the breeze won't seem like that it's strong enough for this to be an issue. So you have to be aware of it. The minute you start to feel a breeze or something, start thinking about protecting your microphone, and you can minimize the hurricane force sound that you'll end up with on your audio track. Another thing, of course, is that as in photography, you want to capture at the highest possible, you know, quality that you can. So if you have options for sound on your camera or on whatever you're using to record, make sure you capture at the highest quality. On my M-Audio, my portable device, I always capture WAV files at, you know, 4400, 16-bit. And if I have a stereo microphone on the M-Audio, I'll capture in stereo. If I just have a single mic, then I'll capture mono because it saves some on the file size. But I try to always, just like I try to shoot raw with my still photography, I try to capture high-quality audio, the best that I can get, with audio, because it's just like photography in the sense that the better job you do on capture, the fewer headaches you have later on in post. And in that case, audio parallels photography, just straight lines. You know, they are just two peas in a pod when it comes to that sort of stuff. So try to capture the highest quality audio that you can with whatever equipment you have. And then really take a look at having a fun little audio tool such as QuickTime Pro. There's a lot of tutorials on the web and on Apple's site about using it. There's an application that I love for doing my audio editing. It's a very simple application. There's a lot of the heavy duty audio apps I didn't like very much. I'm not even that huge of a fan of GarageBand, to tell you the truth. But I found this one application by Rogue Amoeba. They're actually the same folks that make Audio Hijack, which I use Audio Hijack Pro to record my podcast. And then I use another application by them called Fission, F-I-S-S-I-O-N, for editing my audio. And this is it's very nice. It runs on the Mac. It's a very lightweight audio editor, and what I mean by that, it doesn't, you don't need a lot of computer resource. You can have Photoshop and everything else open at the same time. And it's very easy to select audio and just, you know, cut it out to, you know, you can copy and paste bits of audio. And in fact, if you're editing an MP3, you can cut pieces out of your MP3, and then when you save it, it doesn't recompress the MP3. And this is huge, because just like you don't want to have to recompress a JPEG if you do some editing on it. That's why one of the reasons why we shoot raw. The same thing with MP3. You don't want to edit some audio that your original source as MP3 and then have it recompressed because you lose quality. So Fission by Rogue Amoeba allows you to do this editing, and it doesn't recompress the file, which is kind of incredible when you think about how they do that. So I use that to chop up my audio, and then you can save it out in its original format, or you can save it out in any of the QuickTime formats, and it works really well. You get a nice big waveform to look at. If you're new to audio and if you haven't played with it much, I highly recommend this application because it's easy. It's easy, and you'll gain confidence quickly, and it's also precise. And I mean, you gotta love, that combination, easy and precise. So, and then of course, if you're on a Mac, GarageBand is pretty good stuff. I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't know, for some reason, it's just never resonated with me. But you can do great stuff with it, and I have gotten stuff out of it, and it allows you to pull together, different files, and then export them out as a track, and then in that case, that's when it's really nice to hook it up with something like Photomagico, so you have really good looking slides. Presentation on one side, and then this nice little audio that goes with it. And then don't forget about iMovie either. It works really well. So there's some great stuff out there that you can use in terms of tools, and a lot of times the simple tools will work well. And I think that's pretty much the case on the Windows side too. If you find some good simple tools, chances are they'll probably do what we need to do as photographers. A nifty application on the Windows side, I don't know, have you ever gone over to Photodex? It's www.photodex.com, because they have some really nice slideshow and presentation software, ProShow, and some of the other things. And they have ProShow Gold, and they have ProShow Producer. They've got a lot of good stuff there. And I've played with it at trade shows, and actually had them send me some sample copies. This is Windows only now. And you can do a lot of stuff. You can do a lot of stuff with their software. They allow you to mix audio and visuals together. They allow you to burn DVDs and things like that. Pretty good stuff. So that's one piece of software that you might want to take a look at on the Windows side for authoring this stuff up together. So either way, I think I don't want to go too far down that path because that's not really what this show's about. More what I'm thinking today is that when you go out and shoot, think about maybe capturing some audio at the same time. And even if you're not exactly sure how you're going to use it, QuickTime Pro, Fission, Photomagico, iMovie, Photodex, ProShow, even if you're not quite sure what you're going to use with it, have it, because if you can only capture it that one time and then that's it. But once you have it, then you can always figure out later on what to do with it. And then when you have a chance, play with it. And I haven't had a ton of time since I've been back from China, but the little bit of playing around I've done with this, I can see some really, really good potential. And when I kind of bang out my first version, hopefully I'll be able to share it with you. And just having, the audience roar come up, or the sound of fireworks, or some of the ambient, cheering and so forth, really has added a lot as I've played with it so far. Something to think about. I'm always just trying to, find new ways for you to stay up late at night and not get the sleep that you need. All right, so that's it on that part of the show. I want to talk a little bit. We only have a few more days here. Let's see, what do we have today? Is the 26th, so you still have some time to get your photo assignment in for competition. Now, I have to tell you, the shots that started coming in this week, I was going, yes, you've got it, because they were stretching it a little bit and doing things, competition among all sorts of things in nature and mankind, and you know, sometimes it was metaphorically and so on and so forth. But I was happy to start to see some of those shots show up. So you know, if I you got a week, almost a week, so see if you can pull something together and turn it in. This is a challenging assignment, but I'd be really pleased to have a great gallery. So competition, that's the photo assignment for August. And then I want to mention all of our sponsors. Photomagico, of course, who I've been talking about in the show. They have a tile on the digital story. Lowepro, camera bags, Expo Disc by Expo Imaging. And then I want to mention Red River again, one of our newest sponsor, because I have been using their Arctic Polar Luster surfaces, a 75-pound paper with my HP B9180. And I have to tell you, I have just loved the prints that have been coming out. They are just so gorgeous. And they just look great. And so what I've been doing is as I've had a chance, I've just been cranking out some 8.5 by 11 prints just to carry around with me, because people, they're always asking me about, well, you know, how was the trip and all that sort of stuff. And I just want to have shots with me. So now I'm carrying around, I don't know, probably 30 prints or so in my briefcase. And I just spread them out on the table and let people look at them. It's been really great. And sometimes being able to do that is nice in addition to slideshows and web pages and the other stuff that you do, because they can actually hold the paper and look at it the way that they want. But I, you know, just top of mind, I've been using this Red River paper, this Arctic Polar Luster stuff. And it is so nice. It is just beautiful paper, and it's affordable paper. And I've just been having this little love affair with it this week. So I wanted to mention it special on the podcast today, because I think it's part of the sample pack, but certainly there's a link. You know, they have a tile right there in Digital Story. Go over and take a look at it, and if it's in a price range that's comfortable for you, which I think it will be, because their stuff is very affordable, I would give it a try. It's very nice stuff for those of you that like luster surfaces. I almost got through the podcast without one of those, but it's gorgeous stuff. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for me this week. Thank you for bearing with me as I ramble through sort of these top-of-mind ideas. But, you know, I'm just sort of exploring this stuff myself, too. So you're getting it, you know, not too long after it occurs to me. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that is what you got. And I'll see you next week. Competition. And I'm sure I'll have something else that's partially baked for you then. Okay, until next week, take care. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.